Chapter 29.
Look, I'm not this destroyer king, but I understand why you think I'm him, I said, after Morleone brought it up for the 50th time. Come on, Queenie, tell him.
I think it is a fitting title for you, Master. Do you not?
She smiled at me, and I definitely got a touch of amusement from her.
After all, when you came to my colony, you laid waste to the entire thing, slaughtering every last minion that dwelt within before taking me as your queen.
I mean, okay. Yeah, when you say it like that, it almost seems reasonable. And again, while it is an awesome title, I'm still not some reborn guy from a legend. I smirked. But I'm from a faraway place called America, not here.
Uh-huh.
Morleone eyed me closely as we sat in the middle of my newly raised stone hut.
That's exactly the type of place where the Destroyer King would be from.
He spread his hands wide, as if gesturing to the outside world.
Someplace far away and exotic. Someplace like America.
That doesn't even make sense, I said with a sigh as I went back to making the fire. It wasn't hard. I'd just finished shaving off bits of wood into a pile with one of the daggers a hobgoblin had left behind when it had fled. So now I was busily building a small tinder pile with my shavings while adding bits of the empty bird's nest Scout had found to increase flammability. That done, it was time to make a small teepee around it with small sticks. Then I could start the fire.
Of course, it makes sense,
Morleone exclaimed as he leapt to his feet and smacked his chests.
I am Morleone of the Silver Goblins, blessed with both the gilded tongue and the drum of ages, and I most certainly have heard of here, there, and everywhere.
He leaned in close as I pulled out my flint and iron.
And I have not heard of this America.
Well, that is understandable.
No, it is not.
He shook his head.
Tell him, Jay.
The other goblin shrugged, as if to say, Hey man, Morleone's got a point. He has heard of here, there, and everywhere. Only Morleone didn't have a point. It was just too hard to explain that I was from another world, because if I did, he would use that as further proof that I was this destroyer king. Look, I said, as I began to strike the flint against the ore. Is there anything I can do to prove I am this destroyer king? A shower of sparks rained down across the fresh tinder, and after only a few moments, it caught and started to smolder. As much as I'd have liked to say more, I had to lean in closer and blow until I was blue in the face.
Well, there is the sword.
Morleone tapped his cheek before shooting a look at Jay, who just shrugged.
What sword?
Queenie asked, picking up the conversation because I was too busy trying to breathe life into my fire.
And what test, whatever it is, my master will surely pass it.
Well, there's a sword in the heart of the ruins of Nylion.
The goblin paused a breath as he thought.
It's what remains of a border town about two towns over.
He glanced at Jay for confirmation, and when the silent goblin nodded, Morleone continued.
There is an ancient sword buried in the rock there. They said that there used to be a great river that flowed underground to a spring, but the people who were supposed to tend it tried to poison the water there. So the Destroyer King thrust his sword into the ground and blocked off the water.
That doesn't sound like a very good thing to do,
Queenie replied, looking distraught.
Removing the land's ability to get water is truly barbaric. Better to slaughter every last man, woman, and child and water the earth with their blood. Then we could have put their heads on pikes to warn others not to do the same.
She nodded.
That would be much more sensible.
Morleone stared at the Ant Queen for a good long while before turning his attention to me as the fire finally caught and flames billowed to life and began to lick at the dry tinder.
Anyway, he said, clearly still a bit disturbed, it is said that only the Destroyer King can remove the sword and restore water to the land.
He frowned.
It was said to be quite fertile once, but now it is nothing but desert.
Look, I said, as I sat up and began feeding sticks to my baby fire. If we go there, I'll try, but until then, can we drop it? I'm not sure why, but the idea of this Destroyer King legend irked me. While it did remind me of some side quests that could be done in Terraforma to get rare titles and whatnot, it also seemed like it could potentially develop into a long-ass side quest. Sure, I was all for side quests, but I wanted to find out what the hell I was supposed to be doing here before I set off on one that could take who knew how long. Plus, if I was being really honest with myself, I knew it wasn't even that. It was more that I hadn't earned the title yet, and I didn't want Morleone to get super excited for me to pull out this sword or whatever and then be disappointed if I couldn't do it.
That sounds fair, Morleone said, his voice intruding upon my thoughts. I will keep my lips sealed until you pull the sword from the stone.
He nodded.
It might be better for the world not to know you were the Destroyer King anyway.
He got a bit worried then. They might send assassins.
I have no doubt my master could dispatch any and all who would seek to stand against him.
Queenie piped up, as she leaned in to put a stick in the fire while giving me a, "Let me do this, master," look.
Either way, it would be better not to let the secret out until we know for sure, I said, as I stretched out on my back beside the fire and stared up at the ceiling.
It was just like being in a geomancer base, and I'd spent many an hour in them while I'd played.
I agree, master,
Queenie said, as she took a small branch covered in leaves Morleone had asked us to collect earlier and held it over the top of the fire for a moment.
It will be better for our enemies to think you weak. That way, it will be even more satisfying when they find themselves lying in pools of their own blood.
She pulled the now smoking leaves out and plucked one off the branch before putting it into her mouth. She chewed thoughtfully for a moment before spitting it out onto the floor.
Yuck! Tastes terrible.
Were you trying to learn to cook? I asked, suddenly confused by the Ant Queen's actions.
Yes, master, she nodded. I know I did not add salt as you did, but when I watched you before, it seemed like you mostly just burned it in the fire.
She gestured with her smoky stick full of leaves.
But I must have done something wrong.
Before I could say anything, Morleone laughed a bit and then reached over and took the stick from Queenie.
While corf trees are edible, you can't really eat the leaves.
He took the branch from her and cracked it open, revealing the glistening, sticky, golden sap within.
It's the sap you want. The leaves are mostly burned off to keep bugs away.
He paused a second.
Which is probably why you didn't like it.
He offered her the sap.
Try this part.
She took it hesitantly and, after looking at me to make sure it was okay, very slowly extended her tongue and gave it a tentative lick. Then her eyes brightened.
It tastes divine.
She shoved it toward me.
Taste it, Master. I beg you.
Okay, I said. And as I took the branch from her and gave it a lick, I realized she was right. The flavor was somewhere around that of maple syrup, but a bit sweeter and woodier. Wow, this is good. Now, if we only had some meat, this would be a party, Morleone said, and as Jay nodded in agreement, I smiled. That I can help with, I said, as I pulled some roasted ant from my inventory that I'd left a bit on the rarer side, because I figured we would have to heat it up and eat it. May want to heat it up a touch, though. I offered it to them. The goblin duo set about it, and a few moments later, we were eating freshly re-roasted ant and chewing on Korf tree like it was sugarcane, while the army outside kept watch for bad guys. All in all, it was rather pleasant, and as the night grew long, the pair of goblins excused themselves to the corner of the room to sleep, and Queenie came over and leaned her head on my shoulder.
Thank you, Master,
she purred, and that sound stirred something inside me as I patted her gently.
I am very pleased with how you have treated me. I never would have experienced half the things I have today without you.
That's just the Korf talking, I murmured as I inhaled her scent, like scotch and lilacs, and tried to ignore how good the Ant Queen felt pressed against me.
The Korf is certainly tasty, she replied with a sated little hum as she patted her stomach before looking up at me. But that is not what I meant.
Oh? I asked as her multifaceted eyes latched onto mine. And I swear, at that moment, she looked into my soul. It was a strange feeling because normally I didn't really enjoy it when people stared into my eyes like they were trying to search out every inch of my being. But when Queenie did it, well, it just didn't feel invasive. More, it felt curious and accepting.
Yes,
she nodded as she began to walk her fingers up my thigh.
It probably seems strange to you because you are so worldly, Master, but I had scarcely seen more than the outside of my cave. Had I stayed my entire life, it would have ended there without seeing much of the sky or having tasted Korf.
She grinned at me.
Or Hobgoblin, for that matter.
So you did secretly eat them? I asked with a laugh.
I may have snuck a bite or two, but honestly, the meat was too tough for my liking. I thought about trying to cook it. She sighed. I fear I may never be very good at that, though.
It's okay, I said with a laugh. I'm more than happy to cook for the both of us.
I know that, Master.
She paused for a long moment, and I could see thoughts swimming in the depths of her eyes.
But I want to be more for you. Be better.
She nodded once.
I want to cook for you, and clean for you, and kill for you.
She leaned in close then, and her next words were hot on my skin.
I want you to want for nothing.
Now, I'll be honest, I was about to play dumb and ask what she meant, but before I could, Queenie kissed me. Her lips met mine, and the taste of cinnamon and honey filled my mouth. And for a moment, all I could do was feel the press of her body against mine as she leaned into me. When we finally broke the kiss a moment later, I found I was on my back with her on top of me. And as she stared down into my eyes, she smiled hungrily.
I want to know you, Master, She licked her lips. And do not play coy with me and tell me you do not understand what I am saying.
As if to punctuate her words, she ran her hands over the crotch of my pants.
And I want you to know me.
She leaned in for another kiss, and I didn't stop her. Again, our lips met, and this time I kissed her back hard and hungrily. My hand reached up and intertwined in her hair as I pulled her into me while my other hand went around her waist. She moaned into my mouth as her hands went under my shirt, running over the hard muscle of my abdomen. A moment later, my clothes were off, and as they hit the stone tile beside me, Queenie straddled my lap, and I could feel heat cascading off her as she began to hum again. A strange, vibrating resonance swept through me, and as she began to rub her entrance against my swollen cock, I felt a rush of power spill over me and surge through my veins. It gushed up over me as she took my hands and placed them on her breasts, and as I squeezed, I realized they didn't feel hard like I'd thought they might because of the chitin shell. No. In fact, as I kneaded her breasts with my hands and her head arched back as she let loose a moan of pleasure, I realized the whole of her body had become soft and warm and exposed in a way it hadn't been before now. I wasn't sure how, whether it was some feature of the Ant Queen to change the composition of her skin, or if it was from the weird magic building around her as she hummed and moaned, but either way, I was going to go with it. I pulled her back toward me, and this time, I kissed my way up her torso, and with each touch of my lips on her warm skin, I felt her aura dance in the air and swirl around us while the heady scent of cinnamon and lilacs grew stronger. And still she hummed. And with each note, each little vibration of sound, I felt my need for her grow. And then without thinking, I let out a growl that resonated deep within my gut before it spilled out from me in a carnal cry of hunger. The sound had an instant effect on Queenie, and as the guttural sound left my lips in a warm breath that blew against her stomach, she arched back as another moan escaped her. Only this one was different from before. It was primal and yearning. Her eyes latched onto mine again, and as they did, her hum changed its tone, ripping out of her like a shredded guitar solo. And as it did, I felt myself grow harder than I ever had before.
"I want to feel you inside me, Master," she said, as she leaned down toward me. One of her delicate hands reached out to guide me into her slick entrance, but I stopped her with a hand on her wrist.
"No," I said, and at the sound of my voice, she went rigid. "Only good girls get fucked, and I'm not sure if you've been a good enough girl, Queenie."
"I am a good girl, Master," she said, and her voice was thready with need. "Tell me what you wish me to do, and I will do it for you."
She swallowed hard, clearly struggling to control herself as she continued to rub herself against my raging erection.
"Please.
I wish for you to go slow and enjoy yourself, but don't slide it in." As I spoke, she did as I said, taking the time to drag herself across my length slowly. And as the head of my cock pressed against her clit, she let out a moan of pleasure.
"Look how it's kissing you, Master,"
she said as she repeated the movement, so the head of my cock brushed against her clit once more.
"Do you like that? Is it good enough yet?"
She swallowed as she did it a third time, and I could feel from the trembling in her thighs and from the fluid gushing out of her that she was straining not to take me into her. "I do, Queenie. You're being a very good girl," I said, as I reached up and used my fingers to stimulate her tender folds while she moved against me. "And I only need you to hold out a little longer. Can you do that for me?"
"I can,"
she said, and swallowed hard. And this time, when I met her eyes, I realized they had turned black as pitch with need. She stared down at me and smiled.
"I will do this for eternity to please you."
"I know," I said with a smile. Then I kissed her, and as our tongues met, I reached down and slipped myself inside her. The feeling was unlike anything I'd ever felt before, because the way Queenie's muscles pulsed and sucked me inside her was so different and overwhelming that it took everything in me not to explode right then and there. I bit down on the waves of pleasure as Queenie began to move up my length in a slow, deliberate movement that pulled me nearly out of her before coming back down on me hard and slapping her perfect ass against my thighs. I would like to say I lasted for hours and hours, but I didn't, because only a little while later, I felt Queenie's muscles tighten around me in an excruciating mixture of pain and pleasure that took my breath away. Queenie's back arched, and her fingernails dug into my shoulders as she let out a moan that was so loud I was sure the whole of the forest heard it. And I didn't care. Because as her orgasm overtook her, as she squirmed on top of me in a crashing wave of pleasure, I felt our auras mix in a rush of magic that ripped out of us in a swirling tornado of power and energy. That explosion of pure energy flung dirt and debris outward, and my eyes rolled back in my head as an orgasm so intense that it turned my entire body to jelly burst out of me.